Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
This morning, we're wrapping up our series that's dealing with money matters. We've been calling it the green elephant. The green elephant is that elephant in the room that most of us don't want to talk about, money. We've ignored the well-worn advice that you don't talk about money in church, and we've been talking about it openly and honestly. And some of the things that we've discussed over this series are getting our personal finances in order. We've talked about how we got to cut our spending to get below our income and then living within our means. We've talked about gazelle intensity when it comes to retiring our debts and paying off our debts. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about what God says about tithing. We looked at Malachi chapter 3 and talked about giving one-tenth of our income to God through His church. And today, we're going to wrap this Green Elephant series up, and we're going to talk about another kind of giving. We're going to talk about giving away our faith, and that's what that video that David Platt was talking about with the Lottie Moon Christmas offerings, about giving away our faith. Open your Bible, if you would, with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, if you're using the Bible in the row in front of you, is going to be on page 946. If you don't have a Bible to call your own and you'd like one, come see me in the Home Life Center when we're finished this morning. I'll give you a brand new copy. So open your Bible to Romans 10. Turn your Bible on if you're using a Bible app on your phone or an iPad. That's great. However you want to read God's Word is great with me as long as we're all reading it. So Romans chapter 10, we're just going to look at a couple of verses this morning. Romans 10, we'll look at verses 13 through 15. And here's what Paul writes. Romans 10, beginning in verse 13. He says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." It's really good news. Verse 14, great question. "How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written." Check this out. "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." This is the word of the Lord. And you know what comes to my mind when I read those words, "beautiful feet"? Uganda. Uganda comes to my mind. It was a rainy morning in Uganda, muddy dirt roads. I was there on one of the very first trips that the church where I was on staff at as the global missions pastor was exploring a partnership with World Vision, and our church was looking to adopt a village in southern Uganda called Charlingera. And on that rainy morning, a group that we were with met with a group of pastors from that area, and we got in our Jeep that morning. They dropped us off right at the place where we were going to meet under the shelter so we wouldn't be rained on, and the Ugandan pastors were late. First time I'd ever been to Africa, and I'm like, "Dude, we said we're going to meet at 9. Where's everybody? I mean, we got here. Come on. You mean we came all the way around the world? Let's go." And I've learned something about Africa time. It's not like America time. And I love Africa time. It's a glorious and wonderful thing. And the Lord was at work in my heart just going, "Just chill out, man. Just quit being such a dork. Just wait. I'm going to show you something." And the Ugandan pastors were late. And then they started straggling in. Some were walking. Some were riding old bicycles. All of them were sloshing through the mud. Some had on shoes. Others didn't have any shoes. Some had on shoes that should have been thrown away a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
And why did they come? They came because they wanted to hear more about Jesus, and they wanted to know if we as a church were going to invest in their community over the next many years, the next decade. They wanted to know if we as a church were going to help them know how to share Jesus with their community as effectively as they possibly could. And God began to just work on me, and he began to show me some things that morning and during that trip that I didn't expect. And he, in that moment, began to show me their feet. And he showed me their beautiful feet. Feet that were worn out for God and for God's people and for the gospel. It was some of the most beautiful feet that I had ever seen. And I'm not a foot person. I like the closed-toed shoe. But man, these feet were beautiful. These were feet that had carried these men for many, many miles. As we began to hear their story, we began to learn that many of them started walking from their remote parts of the village. And when we say a village, think like a city. Think a lot of territory, acres and acres, miles and miles. And many of them started walking that morning for our 9 o'clock meeting at 4 in the morning so they could be there on Africa time around 9. Come a long, long way just to learn how to share more effectively and to meet some people who may be able to come alongside and help and learn together. And throughout that time, that was many years ago, I've desired to have beautiful feet. Not like pedicure feet. I'm talking about like Ugandan pastor feet. Give me feet like those Ugandan pastors. And it just makes me ask the question to our church this morning, to you this morning, do you want beautiful feet? Let me just tell you out of God's word this morning how you and I can have beautiful feet. The first thing that we've got to do if we want to have the most beautiful feet all around is we've got to learn how to share. We got to learn how to share. Look again what Paul writes in Romans 10, verses 13 and 14. He says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And how are they to hear without someone preaching, someone sharing, opening their mouth and proclaiming?" Beautiful feet, people share Jesus. Kids, draw me a picture this morning. If you could share Jesus with one other person that you're not sure if they know Jesus or not, if they love Jesus and have a relationship with Jesus, if there's one other person on the planet you could share Jesus with, who would it be? And what if God wanted you to share with them? Draw me a picture this morning of you sharing with that other person. Where would you be? Would it be at school? Would it be at the playground? Would it be at lunch? Would it be on your soccer team? Would it be in your neighborhood? Where would you love to share Jesus with that other person? Draw me a picture of it and put it on my board in the Home Life Center this morning. I want to see where and with whom you would love to share Jesus. As you're sharing Jesus with them, you know what the Bible says you will have? Beautiful, not shoes, feet. Put that shoe back on before it gets smelly in here. Beautiful feet, people. Paul, of course, in the scripture is talking about one of the fundamental responsibilities of beautiful feet people, and that's giving away our faith, giving people the opportunity to become followers of Jesus by telling them about Jesus. And Paul, in the scripture, he transitions from talking about the necessity to believe to the necessity to actually share. He presents this responsibility in the context of very, very simple logic. If you're a logical person, if you like order, this is going to speak to you. Look what he says. Basically, as we read those scriptures, what he's saying is this: people have to believe in Jesus in order to be saved from their sins. Okay? People have to believe in Jesus in order to be saved from their sins, and in order to believe, people have to hear. That's what Paul's saying here. Placing one's faith, hope, and trust in Jesus requires a certain level of knowledge. It requires that somebody understand some certain facts, some certain information about Jesus. You're going, like what? Say, like what?
Like what?
Great, interactive here. I love this. Let me just pull up a chair and tell you like what. These are just some of the things. We've got to be able to talk with people and share with people about who he is, who Jesus is. He's the creator God. He's holy. He's the one and only Son of God. What other things do people need to hear? Well, they need to know about what he did. What did he do? Well, he was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He died as our substitute on the cross, and he rose again, conquering sin, death, Satan, and man, you guys are on it this morning. Sin, death, Satan, and hell. What else do people need to know? Well, they need to know what we as people must do. Well, Acts 16:31, it's a great memory verse, says this: believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be, what does that word say?
Saved.
Acts 16:31. What else do people need to know? They need to know, they need to confess their sins. That's not real popular these days, but you know what? That is what the Lord Jesus Christ invites us to do, commands us to do for salvation. Look what what John writes about that in 1 John 1:9. It's on the screen. He says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We've got to help people know what it means to confess Jesus as Lord. Just before those verses we read out of Romans chapter 10, Paul writes this in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. He says, if you confess with your mouth, so hear me. If you're thinking about becoming a follower of Jesus and being saved from your sins, Paul's going to tell you how to do that right here. This is for you. This is for me. He says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart, mind and your heart are connected. If you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be what? You'll be saved. Check it out. For it's with the heart and mind together. It's with the heart that one believes and is justified, and it's with the mouth that one confesses and is what? Is saved. And this level of knowledge, it can't be known intuitively or just by observing the stars outside. No, this stuff has to be heard. This stuff has to be heard. Let me illustrate it for you. Let's say you're hungry. How many of you are already starting to kind of get hungry for lunch? Maybe a little bit? Yes, I see that hand. And some of you are going, man, I don't know what I'm going to eat today, but I'm going to save a little money because I'm a green elephant, the hunter, and I'm getting the green elephant out of my life. We're going to go over to Tom Thumb, and we're going to get us some frozen dinners over there. You're going, frozen dinners, man, how much is that going to cost? I don't know, maybe $2 a piece, something like that. We're going to go home. We're going to throw those suckers in the oven, and they're going to come out, and we're going to have us lunch. And I'm going to sit there and eat it and be thankful for it. Actually, you're not going to do that today. You're going to come have free lunch with us at 12 o'clock because the church is throwing a big party today in honoring our staff. Thank you for the way you bless us as a staff. And if you're visiting today and you're like, oh, I didn't bring any peas and carrots, come on anyway. We got plenty for you. 12 o'clock over in our gym. It's going to be a great time. So you're going, okay, so this illustration is for next week then. Next week, you're going to go to Tom Thumb and you're going to buy your frozen dinners. And you know what? If you'd have just gone and bought the filet mignon that was on sale for $1, not a pound, but a filet, you could have gotten those filets and taken them back home and grilled them up, and you could have had filet for lunch. But you didn't know they were on sale because nobody was talking about it. Nobody was advertising it. There was no signs going, filet mignon, $1 a filet. And you're sitting there at home eating your Swanson's peas and carrots, which taste remarkably the same. When if somebody would have shared with you about the filet mignon for $1, you're saving money if you buy the buck a piece. filet mignon, but you're settling for frozen dinner. Now, I commend you for trying to save, but man, you had the opportunity for filet mignon kind of life at lunch on that day. See, if nobody tells you, how are you supposed to know that? You're not. And what Paul is pointing out is that people all around us are settling for frozen dinner lives when the filet mignon abundant life of following Jesus and loving your neighbor and blessing the city and making disciples is right there for us. It's right there. But they don't even know. Why? Because they're not hearing anybody talk about it. Nobody's telling them. They're missing the sun. They're missing the ad. And they haven't heard. And for people to hear, we have to, say it with me, share. Could we just make that out loud declaration together? For people to hear, we have to share. We all have to share. I mean, sure, God could cause the rocks to cry out. I mean, when we read the stories in the scripture, we see him doing supernatural things like sharing through Balaam's donkey or a burning bush. But those times are few and far between. Basically, the way God chooses to speak to other people is through his people. It's what we see all throughout the pages of the Bible. And if people are to hear about Jesus, they're most likely going to hear about Jesus through us. He calls his followers to give away their faith, to share Jesus with others. Please, please, please keep following Paul's very clear logic from Romans 10. It can be summed up like this. We share, people hear, and people believe. Can we just say that together? Let's take another out loud note. We share, people hear, and people believe. That's God's strategy out of Romans 10. That's God's strategy for getting the word out about himself, about abundant life here and now, and about the kingdom that's coming on earth as it is in heaven. He is mobilizing beautiful feet people. He's mobilizing beautiful feet people. Great news. Yes, I'm going to put my shoes back on. More great news. Beautiful feet people strategies are working. You go, how are they working? Tell me so I can understand. Let me tell you how you can understand. I had a great conversation with one of my dear friends. His name is Dr. Carl Couch. There's a picture of Dr. Couch. He's a doctor with Scott and White Health. He's the VP, as it says up there, of healthcare improvement. I've known Dr. Couch for many, many years, and he's just a great, great godly man, a brilliant physician, and just a great, great guy who's got a big heart for Jesus. And we were meeting with Dr. Couch a couple of weeks ago. He's on the board of directors for a local medical ministry called the Garland Hope Clinic. Raise your hand if you've heard of the Garland Hope Clinic. Anybody in here? A few of you? Yeah. Now everybody can raise your hand because you've all heard of it now, because I just told you about the Garland Health Clinic and Hope Clinic. And so we're talking with Dr. Couch the other day about some possible partnership opportunities that we're exploring with Texans Can Academy. And we're looking at some creative ways to help meet the health and wellness needs that are beginning to be known from our Can Academy students and their families. We're measuring that. We're trying to understand, how can we help? How can we love our neighbors? How can we bless people in this city through that partnership? And as I was asking him about some of the different best practices for the Garland Hope Clinic, how they've been utilizing to help bless, serve, and share the underserved in our community and city. If you didn't know this, the Garland Hope Clinic has been ministering and meeting the health and wellness needs of the uninsured and the underserved residents of Garland since 2002. So they've been around for a while. And Dr. Couch told me something. He says, not only are we meeting their physical medical needs with doctors and nurses and physicians, we've begun to institute spiritual counselors who are available for those patients that come through the door who may want to have someone pray with them or talk with them about things that are happening in their lives. And Dr. Couch told me that over the last 6 years, there have been over 1,250 people who have put their faith, hope, and trust in Jesus for salvation and the forgiveness of their sins through the partnership with the Garland Hope Clinic. People at the Hope Clinic, hear this, shared. Patients heard. And those people believed. Now that obviously either just smashed you in the face and you don't know what hit you, just like Oklahoma did to my Baylor Bears yesterday. Or you didn't hear what I just said. Let that number sink in. Over the last 6 years, over 1,250 people in Garland have put their faith, hope, and trust in Jesus because somebody at the Garland Hope Clinic shared with somebody who walked in the doors of the Hope Clinic for needs to be met, and they believed in Jesus. That's huge. Golf clap. No, that's Kingdom of God, awesome stuff that's happening right here. Wow. 1,250 people that we'll see in heaven. What does that mean? That means the strategy's working. That means beautiful feet, people are serving in our community, and it's changing lives and it's changing eternities. So what am I asking you to do? I'm asking you to share. I'm asking you to share so that others can hear and have a chance to believe. Share with the person who happens to be fixing your flat tire. George Butler told me this morning, man, I've got like 5 flat tires in the last several weeks. Maybe God wants me to share with the person who's been changing my tire. Maybe. Maybe. I'm asking you to go and share Jesus with your world. I'm asking you, I'm inviting you to become a beautiful feet person. Beautiful feet people share. And not only do they share, but also they give. They give. Romans 10:15 says, and how can they preach unless they are sent? See, right here, Paul's bringing up another aspect of God's strategy for getting the word out about him. Not only are we to share so others can hear, we're also to give so that we can help mobilize those who are going, who are being sent to other parts of the world, across the street and around the world. Let's just declare up front, we don't do the sending. God does the sending. It's God who does the sending. We don't do the sending. But when we start sharing Jesus, I'm telling you, God starts sending to us the very people who need to hear the gospel. God is the one who's sending people across the street and around the world. God is the one who's been sending our church partnerships that we have the opportunity to collaborate with and who can help us very easily love our neighbors and bless this city by creating opportunities for us to share with new friends, new families, as we're establishing new rails of relationship. You go, what are you talking about? Let me tell you what I'm talking about. If you're visiting this morning, you're going, what is this church about? This is a major part of what our church is about. I'm going to talk with you about some partnerships, give you some examples of some partnerships about how God's been sending people our way. And likewise, is sending some of us to some different places, all of us to some different places. One of the partnerships he sent our way is the Lionheart Children's Academy onto our campus. The goal, the numerical goal for October was hit. You go, what was the numerical goal? 103. October 31, there was 103 children enrolled in Lionheart Children's Academy. Check this out. When we started this partnership that God sent our way, we were very impressed that the strategy, the vision for Lionheart was not just that we'd fill it up with a bunch of people who already know him. Yes, childcare, excellent childcare is a huge need in our city. But we wanted some of those kids, some of those families to be followers of Jesus at the end of the opportunity. And so up front, we wanted 50% of the participants to be from unchurched families. That's a strategy and a vision that we desired to be a part of. Out of those 103, 52% of the families are from unchurched families. Which means God's bringing, God's sending people who need to hear about Him onto our campus. Would you please help me welcome Tama Bankhead? Because Tama Bankhead is our community director at Lionheart Children's Academy. And I want her to tell you a story of somebody who wasn't a follower of Jesus when they came in, but who now is a follower of Jesus. Would you help me welcome Tama Bankhead? Tama, would you share briefly what happened in the recent days with one of the dads that you've had a conversation with?
Sure. I think if you've been here a while, you might have heard the beginning of this story. When this mom came in with her son, and I showed her around Lionheart because that's what I do. And then I got to the part where I say, we are an unashamedly a faith-based organization. I said, so in the process, your son will hear that God made him, God loves him, and Jesus wants to be his forever friend. And she said, well, I don't have a problem with that, but my husband might. And I said, well, tell me about that. She said, well, he says he's an atheist. I said, okay, have him come on in. Let's talk to him. Let's show him around because, you know, he needs to understand what his son's getting into. So a few days later, he came along and gave him the same visit, and I said, you know, this is what your son's going to hear, and I know that your faith is not where your wife's is, but you guys need to be on the same page because he's going to come home with a lot of questions. He said, I don't really have a problem with that. You know, I'm not one of those people that, because I don't believe, I don't want my son to believe. He said, I'm good with that. And so they signed up the next day, and it was probably a couple of days after that that the mom comes to me very upset, and she says, you know, I need to talk to someone, and I need someone to pray with me because I've made this decision that I do want to go back to church. She said, but every time I do that, bad things start to happen to me and my family. And I said, well, that's spiritual warfare. Let's pray over you. And I prayed over her, and I prayed for her husband and her wife and their marriage and their protection. And I said, you need to do this a lot and just keep praying over your family. And then she shared with me that as a result of that, he started visiting church with her and her son at the church of another Lionheart family who had asked them to come to church. And then it wasn't 2 weeks ago, and she walks in the door and she says, Tama, guess what? I said, what? She goes, he's getting baptized. I was like, tell me about that. Because I wanted to make sure he was coming from the right place. And she said they had been meeting with their pastor. They had been going to small groups where they discuss and dissect the pastor's sermons. And she says he's very attentive. He asks great questions. And he had this talk with his pastor. And he said, that's what I believe now, and I want to follow in baptism. So on December 18th, he is getting baptized at his church.
That is awesome. That is so great. Tama, thanks so much for sharing this morning. Tama asked permission from this dad to be able to share that story. He said, absolutely, tell everybody you want. Tell everybody you want. But that's one story out of many stories that we're beginning to hear. And God's continuing to send partnerships our way. The Garland Can Academy is now in our campus because God literally sent them through the doors. As of Friday, there were 142 students enrolled. We started on August the 16th with one student. There's 142 now, and God sent them our way. How did He send them our way? Because of the rail of relationship that God had already established with another partnership across the street, International Leadership of Texas Charter School. How many of you were here when we hosted that charter school for a year while they were building their facilities? Yeah, do you know their superintendent, Eddie Conger, and the superintendent of Dallas, of the Texans Can Academy, our old buddies? They've got a rail of relationship. And for 2 years, the Khan Academy had been trying to find a place to open a campus in this area because so many students were driving or taking the bus all the way downtown. And he was saying, Eddie, do you have any room? He's like, no. Do you know anybody? Well, yeah, that church across the street. They're great neighbors. You ought to go talk to them. And God sent four of their leaders through the door, shared the vision. And we said, how can we help? We've got 142 kids that are signed up right now and averaging 12 more students every week. And we're beginning to understand the needs of their family because we're being very intentional. This past Thursday, Dr. Daniel Johnson, their principal, sat around a conference table with myself, George Butler, and Scott Lyles, and three leaders from Richland College discussing how we can partner together to meet some needs that have begun to surface. We're finding out one of the major needs is English as a second language in those families. We're finding out that parents and family members who are not in the Khan Academy, but who are sending their kids to the Khan Academy, don't have a high school diploma. And we're finding out that there's a great need for dual credit. And Richland Community College sent three of their people who are over those three areas going, how can we help? We'll send our professors if you'll provide the people and the church will provide the space. Done. And so starting in January, you very likely will see ESL, GED, and dual credit courses on our campus through the people that God's been sending. And we're going to have an opportunity to love our neighbors and bless this city and eventually make what? Yes. God did that. We didn't do that. God did that. Because he taught us how there's a difference between mine and share. It's the basic thing we teach our kids. And when we begin to share, he begins to send. He begins to send. And God sends people and desires to send people from Arapahoe Road across the street and around the world. Think about how God's already been doing that. God sent Rachel Bankhead and Phoebe Simon to share and to serve people in the country of Germany last summer. God called them. And we as a church had the opportunity to partner with God to send them to Germany to share the gospel. And when they came back, they told stories of how they shared the gospel, people heard the gospel, and people believed the gospel, and some of those people were baptized while they were there. The strategy's working. God calls and sends, and we are invited to have a part of the sending, and he expects us as his followers to give the needed resources so that the ones who are called uniquely to some places can go. It's a partnership. It looks like this. God calls and sends. We give. People hear and believe. It's pretty simple, yeah? It's not rocket science. It's just obedience. God calls and sends, we give, people hear and believe. Pretty straightforward stuff, nothing hard about it. And what Paul's saying in Romans 10 is just so logical. Let's just stop and apply it for a second. God's calling us to share so others can hear the gospel. And he's calling us to give so that others can go and share the gospel. You're going, how can we do this more effectively? What are you asking me to do? Well, first I'm asking you through this series as we've been talking about to give your tithes to God through the church. When you do that, a part of what you give goes to missions. Can I just tell you how great God is and how faithful God has been? Take out your art just for a second, if you would. What did I do with mine? It's up here somewhere. Well, I can tell you on the back of it, on the back of the art. Thanks, Mike. Dan, I'll take one from each. I see those hands. On the back of it, just look at our financials. This was the first Sunday of giving this past month that's down here. Do you see where it says month to date? $36,776.52. Can I tell you what this church was averaging two Novembers ago? About $14,000. We had to make some hard decisions. We cut our expenses below our income, which is a radically biblical thing to do. Hard thing to do. Some of our dear friends had to no longer serve here. And through God's faithfulness, He's continued to grow the giving through you. And we said back then, we've got to make a hard decision and suspend giving to missions until we understand where we're at. We let our friends at the BGCT, we let our friends at the Dallas Baptist Association know that we're going to have to halt our giving for a season until we understand where we're at. And in due time, we're going to begin to give back. And this year, we've begun to give back. We're starting at 3.3% of our total budget receipts. Next year, the plan is to increase that to 6.6%, and the year after that to 10%. We're working toward our tithe and giving back to missions. We're not doing anything at this church we're not asking and inviting you to do. And so when you give, let's just use simple math. When you give $100 to the church, or to God through the church, $3.33 goes to missions. And that is divided into three different ways. Let me just show you where it goes, okay? A third of it goes to cooperative missions to support missionaries all around the world through the International Missions Board and ministries across the state of Texas through the Baptist General Convention of Texas. So a third goes there. A third goes to local ministries and church starting efforts in Dallas County through the Dallas Baptist Association. And a third we hold on to so that we can direct as God is bringing partnerships our way. You go, what does that look like? It looks like an opportunity for our church to be a part of sending out with God Scott and Rachel Partridge. Scott and Rachel, would you join me up here for just a moment? Or Scott or Rachel, as you may have, is Miss Piper over there? Hey, don't you love a quick set of... Anybody else going, oh, I'll hold her. I'm called to that ministry. Help me to welcome Scott and Rachel Partridge. Scott and Rachel have been with us nearly 4 years. They came to us to serve in our student ministry. When they came to Arapahoe Road, as we got to know their story, we knew there was going to come a day when we would be sending them to the other side of the world to serve Muslims, because God had called them and had melded their hearts together when they met initially in the Middle East on a mission trip. The story goes they didn't even really like each other that much. But they loved the call God had on their lives. They're like, we can do this together. And so in recent days, Scott transitioned out of our student ministry. He and Rachel are serving as missionaries in Apartment Life Ministry in the Equinox apartment around the corner, and are preparing to go to the other side of the world to serve and to share and to reach Muslims. And in recent days, that call has become very clear. Tell us a little bit about where you're heading and what you're going to do.
Yeah. So one of the biggest focuses since stepping out of the staff position here was to begin narrowing the focus of where we're going to go. That has become clear just in the recent days that the next step for us is to go to Hamburg, Germany. And I think we've got a slide here. You can see some information about Hamburg. It is the second largest city in Germany and also the second largest port city in Europe. A large metropolitan city. There's about 1.7 people within the city, and in the metro area, about 5 million. Wow. Around the same size as the Dallas-Fort Worth area, really is what that is. Just like most cities in Europe and most larger cities, there's all, you know, a lot of people from around the world who have moved to this city. And so while we certainly have a heart to reach Muslims, there are Muslims in Hamburg today. Thousands and thousands of them that we can step into a work there and be a part of ministering to those people, trying to reach them with the gospel.
And we've talked about how God moves along the rails of relationship. There's a team that's already on the field
field from the International Mission Board, a guy by the name of Jason Bishop. Some of you may know who Jason Bishop is. Jason Bishop used to serve on staff here at Arapahoe Road, and God has planted the bishops and some others in Hamburg, Germany, and we're working with the International Mission Board to be able to send the Partridges as our very first missionaries to go and to stay for an extended time. And there's a new opportunity to be able to do that. It's called the Great Commission 2 Pathway. Some of you are going, I don't care about any of that. Some of you are going, tell me about that. It's an opportunity for a local church, such as Arapahoe Road, to come alongside our missionaries and send them and be responsible as the sending base. So the Partridges are going to be raising 100% of their support, and they are going to go under the umbrella of the IMB, so they get all the resources, all the training, all of the connection with a long-established mission sending organization. And you don't know this, but I had breakfast with the pastor that you grew up under, Dr. Chris Segris, who's a dear friend of mine, and I was telling him about this, and he said, as soon as you finish telling your church, you tell him to call me, because First Baptist Wiley's coming alongside, and we're going to be co-partners in sending this whole thing out. And we are pumped that the Partridges get to be our first missionaries that we are sending out and sending overseas. And they're probably going to head out about January of 2018 as they take this next year to wrap up, develop their strategy, understand their budget needs, and we'll send them out. Would you help me to thank Scott and Rachel Partridge up top? Anything else we need to know in the meantime?
I think there's one other side. So you can kind of get an idea of what we'll be doing in Hamburg and really how you can pray for now. And then as you consider, we're going to be sending some teams from Arapahoe Road to come and help us while we're there. I mean, we're talking about a 2 to 3 year strategy, but y'all are going to be coming to help us. It's not like we're going to be going over there and then, okay, we'll see you in 3 years. Y'all are going to come and help us. The strategy, there's a couple things that we'll talk about, and we can talk to you in more detail, but the team there has divided the city into 100 different neighborhoods, and they are creating missional communities that multiply in these different neighborhoods. Sometimes those form into churches. Sometimes they don't, because it's existing churches working together, and so they're like, hey, these churches are already doing what they're supposed to do, so we're just going to support what they're doing, but there's also a few other things that we'll be able to be a part of, and Rachel is going to tell you.
I think he already explained most of it. Just with the teams that we're going to be working with, yeah. Obviously the bishops, which some of y'all know, there's another team there, the Pedrozas, which none of you probably know, but it is really neat that we'll be working with them also, because I've known them for around 15 years now. In the very first mission trip I ever went on, they were my team leaders.
Awesome.
And so it's just neat to see how the Lord has worked through both of these families and kind of bringing all three of us together from different places. And the Pedrozas have a coffee ministry with local coffee shops, which thrills me.
That's great.
So not too much him. and then the women work with women that are stuck in human trafficking in Hamburg. They have ministries for them, and I think that's all we're supposed to say.
It's going to be an amazing opportunity and a great journey. Will they stay there beyond 2 to 3 years? We don't know. This is the next leg of the journey, and once they get there, the Lord will make it clear if they're to stay or if they're to continue in a different part of sharing in that part of the world. And I'm just so thrilled that we get to be a part of what God's doing with you and in you and through you. If you would like to pray about being a part of their financial sending team, you can write the check to Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, and in the memo, just put Germany. Don't put their names, put Germany. And we will begin to accumulate that and prepare to send them out at the appropriate time. I'd love to pray for you guys. Would you pray with me, church? Lord, we love the Partridges. We're excited about how you're calling them and sending them, and that we have the opportunity to be a part of that great sharing opportunity. I pray that you'd prepare the way, that you'd prepare the resources and provide everything that they will need to be who you are calling them to be as they share the gospel to people in Hamburg. Lord, we love you, and we're excited about what you're doing in and through their lives and in and through this church. In your name we pray. Amen. Hey, help me to thank the Partridges, would you? As we wrap up this morning, man, just know there are so many great opportunities that we have the opportunity as a church to share the gospel with. If you want to give to missions, and I'm asking you to give to missions, I'm asking you to pray about giving to missions. If you came prepared to do that this morning, you can put a check or whatever you'd like in these mission offering boxes in here. We'll make sure that those go to straight to missions. If you'd like to give online, that's another option for you to do. You're going, where do you do that? You just go to arapahoeroad.org. You'll see where the give button is. You click on that button, and then it'll take you to this screen. You click on that give button. It's a secure site. You can put your information in and designate those missions dollars any way that you see fit. So when you give, it goes to the general missions budget, and you're going, what does that mean? It goes to the general missions, but what is that support? What is that fund? Our strategic mission partnerships. Let me just show you a quick on the screen. So if Arapahoe Road is kind of the base here, it helps to support opportunities that arise with Hickman Elementary School, with International Leadership of Texas Charter School, with the Texans Can Academy, the Children's Hunger Fund, the Heart for the Fatherless Ministry, the International Students Incorporated, Buckner Ministries, and a portion of that helps to fund our ministry residents. All of those opportunities, all of those partnerships have needs that arise throughout the year, and by being able to direct some of our missions dollars, it enables us immediately to say yes. We can help meet that need. We can help love our neighbor. We can help bless the city with the desire that we have the privilege to share and make disciples. So when you give to missions, it goes to help support those types of opportunities. And others are on the way, like with the Hope Clinic, like with Richland College, and who knows what else? God knows. He's saying, if you'll get away from mine and you'll be about share, I'll open the windows of heaven and blow you away with opportunity. Did you know that 500 people are moving into the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex every single day? And 70% of those are coming from other nations? That means there's a whole lot of opportunity to share the gospel all over the place. And the primary place God's going to want you to share is where you go to work, or where you go to school, or where you live in your neighborhood. It's a huge opportunity. It's a huge responsibility. My goal is for every single member of Arapahoe Road to see their vocation as the number one way and the number one place where they can preach and share the gospel in both a local and global effort. Right where you work, that domain of society, right where you go to school, where your neighborhood is. It's a huge opportunity. So what are we supposed to do? Share so others can hear, and give so others can go. As we do that, the green elephant will become extinct in our lives and in our city and in our state, nation, and world, because everybody will have had an opportunity to hear. You're awesome. I love pastoring you. I love being able to do life alongside you and lead you. And God's got great plans for this church, and He wants you to be a part of it.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapaho Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapaho Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.